Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to start with verses, I believe, 16. Verses 16, and we will end with 19. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So I need your attention right up here on the board. Let's go here. Here we go. Yes, I've entitled this evening's message, The Covenant Confirmed by Christ. The Covenant Confirmed by Christ. Let me just speak on this for a moment, and then we'll get into our Bible study. This topic right here, the covenant was a promise given to Abraham, or Abram, and then he became Abraham. He is the father of our faith. And before the law of Moses came, before Jesus came down through the lineage, God had already made a promise to him that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So this lets us know that before the law, there was already a promise that the Lord God Almighty had given to Abraham. This lets me know that even though the law had to come to point generations after generations to the cross, the promise was already in place to all those who would believe, and it would be accounted as righteousness upon them. Praise God. You see, we're saved by faith through God's grace. And because we believe, it has been accounted upon you and me as righteousness. Praise God. No, we're not self-righteous, but we have now the righteousness of Christ upon our life. And so wherever you go, when you walk into a grocery store, when you walk into a dentist's office, when you walk into your family's house, wherever you go, you have the covenant of God, the assurance of God that He is with you. And any moment, Jesus could come and take us all home. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? You got to be blessed. You got to be thankful to God that God is the one that promised Abraham, and because he believed and it was accounted upon him as righteousness, guess what? In the time that we live in, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he drew us to the cross. He opened up our eyes. He gave us ears to hear, and we ran to the cross. God allowed us to see it for the first time when you got saved, when I got saved. So I'm here to let you know, my friends, that God has done the miraculous, and this is why his covenant is from everlasting to everlasting. Aren't you so blessed that God will not break his covenant with us? Praise God, praise God. Yeah, I've heard it said, well, what about the people that backslide? What about the people that have gone astray? Listen, if they are a true child of God, we have in God's word that he'll leave the 99 to go get the one. Oh, that's right. Because God is a God of reconciliation. God is a God that will restore. God is the one that keeps us. Even though this flesh may want to fight him all day long. Paul the Apostle said when he got saved, he says, now he goes, I recognize there's a war in my members. You see, before he would just sin galore, just sin, and had no recollection of what he was doing until Christ came into his life. And so it's no different with us. Can I get an amen? We serve a mighty God, my friends. So, are we ready to get into the Word? Let's go back into the Word here. And let's start with Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Here we go. And it reads, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect." I need you to catch that in your spirit, saints of God. Praise God. Are you seeing this, what I'm seeing right now? Praise God. Let's read that one more time. I want you to get that into your spirit. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." And that all trickles down to us. "He does not say, and to seeds as many, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect." Wow, wow. Praise God, praise God. Look at this in verse 18 and 19. "For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise." There's our answer, because the law cannot keep the promise. The law is of God, but it points us to the cross, because the law shows us our sin. Look at this. "For it is the inheritance," look at this, "is of the law. It is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise of the covenant. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions." Ooh, there it is. "Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." And we all know who that mediator is, right? That mediator is Christ Jesus. Praise God. So, let's move on now with verse 16. "And now, to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ." See, that answers that all in a nutshell, my friends. Praise God. Praise God. That answers everything of this study this evening. It's Christ. You see, saints, this verse would probably make more sense in the flow of the text if it appeared in parentheses, but it's not. If the promise was meant for Abraham and his many descendants alone, to all his children, then it might appear that the promises had already been fulfilled, and that the law had come as what? As a new phase in God's dealing with his people. But, my friends, the promises had been given to his children, his child, that is Abraham's most famous descendant, and that was Christ. All the way down, thousands of years later, the descendant would rise, and he would be the Messiah, Christ, who came many years, as I mentioned, after both Abraham and the law. And the law was an important function, but salvation by grace through faith was God's promise from the beginning of time. Praise God, praise God. I need you to catch what Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians. "For by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith." Praise God. Through faith. There it is. "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." See, there's nothing we can boast about. This is all God and Him alone. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should" what? Walk in them. Walk in them, saints of God. You see, saints, the Jews had always believed that God's promises would be fulfilled in a single person, which was the Messiah. And God's promise remained intact, even though Abraham himself only had one descendant through Sarah. Further, my friends, the promises were not fulfilled prior to the giving of the law, nor by the giving of the law. Instead, they were fulfilled when Christ came. He fulfilled everything. Praise God. Praise God. Because you have grace. You have mercy. You do have the law. And Jesus came to fulfill it all. I need you to picture this, saints of God. When God the Father looks down from heaven, and when He sees us, guess what He sees? Because the Bible's clear. When we came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we repented of our sins and we gave our heart to Christ by faith, we repented, we turned from our sin, the blood of Jesus washed us, cleaned, He cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and then God placed His Spirit within us. From that moment on, we are walking in the righteousness of Christ. This is why we can truly be free. Why? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So now the Holy Spirit is living in us. And so wherever we go, we could be on the highest mountain in the world. We could be in the deepest part of the ocean, in a submarine. We could be in another foreign land. But when God the Father looks down from heaven, guess what He sees? He sees the blood. He sees the blood. He doesn't see that original sin no more. Are we going to sin in our body? Yes, unfortunately we do. But we have an advocate, and that is Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. And all we have to do is confess our sins. Why? Because He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all, say that with me at home, all unrighteousness. Praise God. You see, my friends, Christ alone fulfilled the messianic aspects of God's covenant and showed that God's promises are in effect for all time, forever, throughout eternity. Many claim to be rightful heirs to God's promises by Abraham by their being of his offspring, meaning, you know, a descendant of the Jewish family. But Paul pointed out the only true rightful heir was Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we came by faith through God's grace, and we have this wonderful salvation. How many of you at home can say, God, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful salvation. And look what He's doing in your life. One by one, He's putting the pieces of broken lives together. We're like all Humpty Dumpties. Can I get an amen? And He's putting things in place. Listen, I heard it said best like this. The world looks like it's all falling apart. But I want to flip that and say it's all falling in place. That's right. Because God already foretold what would happen in the end times, that we would see all these hideous things taking place. I showed last week a commercial that they're 24/7, a commercial they're running in New York City preparing for a nuclear blast. We live in perilous times. Yes, we live in darkened times. Yes, Jesus said in the last days it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. But that's not to scare us believers. That is to bring us great understanding and joy and preparedness that the King is soon to come. And we need to embrace these things knowing that God is with us. If God be for you, who can be against you? Can I get an amen? Greater is He that lives within us than he that's in the world. Saints of God, this is the time that we need to rise up in faith. And we need to speak those things, hallelujah, that pertain to life and godliness. We need to raise each other up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Yes, do many people that we know in church and fellowship and family, we know that they have fallen short of the glory of God, just like you and I. But we are to come alongside them and build them up. Can I get amen? Because God is the one that will reconcile them to Him, and then we can be reconciled with one another. Why? Because that's God's order. That's the order of God. So, saints, this is the time that now that the Messiah has come for the first time, then He left, and He's coming back again, God is going to do a one last moment of purification in His church so that we could be the bride without any spot and blame. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. So, let's move on to verse 17. And this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed by God in Christ. that it should make what? The promise of no effect. Wow. Wow. Are you catching that, saints of God? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, that promise that God made, as I pointed out earlier? Now, let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. Look at this. But God spoke in this way. This is Luke who wrote this down. He wrote the book of Acts. That his descendants would dwell in a foreign land, and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them for 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage, I will judge, said God. And after that, they shall come out and serve me in this place. Wow. 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 Listen, what does that one scripture mean? You see, they were taken into captivity. See, after Abraham, then came Joseph, and then Joseph, you know, as you read the stories in the Bible, then Pharaoh, who didn't know the Jews, a new Pharaoh rose up, put him in captivity, and they were in bondage for well over 400 years. And then God sent a deliverer, which was Moses, and Moses delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. But let me just say this, because we just read what happened. When they were set free, God went back and he destroyed Pharaoh and his army. Here's a take heed warning. Take heed that those people that harass you, those people that come against you, those people that falsely accuse you, those people that will try to do evil to you, those people who have said slanderous things about you, they will not get away scot-free. Oh, that's right. And God will sometimes allow you to go through those things, so it will teach you a lesson. But let me just say this. Once God restores you, he's going to go back and deal with the perpetrators that basically blaspheme God and they blaspheme you. Oh, yes, that's how it works. So this is why we need to walk humbly. We need to walk in God's favor. We need to walk according to the will of God. We need to walk according to what God has already proclaimed upon your life. God said in the book of Jeremiah that I have a plan for you, a plan that is good, a plan that will cause us to prosper, a plan that God will cause you to be blessed on this earth. Why? Because we have the same covenant that Abraham has. We've been grafted in by faith. Can I get an amen? Praise God. So, saints, Moses received the law and gave it to God's people 430 years after the time of Abraham. Now, while there is debate about the exact period of these 430 years, the point is that the number of years, it's not about that, but rather that the law came later than God's promise to Abraham. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Oh, that's right. If the law came first, it would be a whole different ballgame. But grace, righteousness, faith came before the law. Praise God. Now, listen, for four centuries, God had been blessing Abraham and his descendants on the basis of their faith, not by Moses' law. For it did not yet exist yet. Praise God. You see, saints, when the law was given, it did not cancel God's agreement with Abraham. Otherwise, God would be breaking his promise. And let me just say this. God keeps his promises. His yeses are yes and amen. Listen, unfortunately, mankind, we break our promises all the time. Look how many divorces have taken place already. Look how many children have walked out of parents' lives. And yet, God's grace is still sufficient. God's grace is still with them. Oh, that's right. And this is why we can't prejudge anyone. Can I get an amen? We can't even judge anyone. Jesus says, judge not, lest you be judged. With the same judgment, you will receive the same measure. Wow. Come on, saints. No, we're not to judge. We are to lift up and to build. And people, that are wayward, people that are wicked and evil, God, let God do all what he's going to do. Don't put your hand and your mouth on it. Can I get amen? Because God is the ultimate one that will judge. Praise God. Praise God, saints. You see, the giving of the law itself was an integral part of God, following through on his covenant. And that's what God did. God had preserved his people in Egypt and had overseen their exodus. Praise God. Guess what? Since you and I were conceived in our mother's womb, we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb, and then we were thrust out into this life, and God had preserved us until the day God opened up our eyes and our ears to the Messiah. Can I get an amen? No differently than what he did for the people in the book of Exodus, his people, he did the same thing for you and I. This is the God, hallelujah, that I love. This is the God that we serve. This is God Almighty. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Bishop and Lover of our soul. He is the Morning Star. Hallelujah. He is the great King who is soon to come for his church. Can I get an amen? How many of you can't wait to be with him? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, then after the Exodus, praise God, through Moses, God had provided the law as a written standard of his own legitimate expectations of those in covenant with him. Praise God. Notice in covenant with him. Look at the world, for instance. The world right now, they care less about Moses' law. They care less about the Ten Commandments. Why? Because they're not in covenant with God. You and I, that's a whole different case. Because we are now the righteousness of Christ through faith. We are in covenant. And because we're in covenant, now the Ten Commandments, we understand. And we strive to work through these issues of life in those Ten Commandments. Are we perfect? No. Are we going to fail? Yes, unfortunately. But we have that covenant, that ongoing. Listen, every time you wake up in the morning, you think of God. God's in your thoughts. God's in your life. We never lose track of who he is in our life every day. Why? Because we have covenant with him. We've been born of God. His seed is in us now. Hallelujah, by faith. And so, my friends, God will strengthen you. God will help you through every situation of life. Why? Because we have a blessed covenant with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Somebody needs to just give God praise and glory at home, because without the covenant, we would be wayward. We would be lost without a cause. Oh, that's right. We would be out there bound up and tore up from the floor up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But praise God for the covenant that has been given to us. And we've been grafted in by faith. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the law neither replaced nor improved the covenant of promise by faith through grace. As Paul would later develop, the law's main function is to demonstrate how crucial the covenant of faith is in allowing, saints of God, people any hope at all. You see, the law had to point out the dark side of humanity. The law had to point out our errors. The law had to point out our shortcomings. The law had to point out our deficiencies. The law had to point out all these things that were contrary to the will of God. And so, we've been exposed. The blankets, the covers have been removed from us. We're exposed now. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did they do? The first thing they did was hide behind a fig tree. They were exposed. Sin will expose you. Praise God. But God will cover you. God's grace will embrace you. God's grace will cover you like an eagle. And you are forever protected in his will. Can I get an amen? You see, saints of God, as a paragraph in God's gracious covenant, law provides guidance, but taken alone, the law becomes a grinding foe. Oh, yes. constantly pointing to our shortcomings, as I just mentioned. In other words, saints of God, the Judaizers were wrong. These are the religious folks. We're always talking about, and we're seeing throughout the book of Galatians, Ephesians, many of Paul's epistles, he spoke about these Judaizers. These are the religious folks. They were the ones that had the pompous hats and the religious robes. But yet the Bible says that they were filled with dead men's bones. Oh, that's right. That's right. They didn't have a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't. They cared less. And all they did was fleece the flock. All they did was take money from the poor, but never ministered to them. Never even considered of helping them in their physical ailments, in their mental ailments, in their spiritual life. No, they had no care for them. And this is why Jesus had an issue. He always had an issue with them. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus's roadblocks would be the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Those scribes missed the moment. Because if you notice in the whole entire New Testament, the scribes didn't take any notes. The scribes didn't proclaim, didn't write down the marvelous things. It was mere mortal men who God had given them the Holy Spirit to write these things down. And they weren't professional scribes. They weren't scribes of the synagogues. They were common folks. This is why God, hallelujah, this is why, let me just say this, God is writing your testimony right now. Can I get an amen? And you're going to write it down one day, and you're going to just proclaim and testify what God has done in your life. Can I get an amen? Praise God. You see, my friends, the promise of justification by faith is still in effect because the law does not set aside or annul it. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 18. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? It was a promise. And God is not, okay, I wouldn't be able to say this in a woke environment. But I'm here to let you know, we've known this, we heard this when we were a kid. God is not an Indian giver. You know what I mean? They took the Washington Redskins and took out Redskins, and the Cleveland Indians, they took out something else. Man, those were always there they weren't racial slanders. And I'm here to let you know that God is not an Indian giver. He promised you eternal life, and he will keep it. You got to take that to the bank. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Listen, look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right up here. Look at this. In Romans 4:13, look at this. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Uh-oh, here we go. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because, verse 15, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to the grace, that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Praise God. Did you catch that, saints? Look what also is written that King David wrote in Psalms. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Let me just say this. You and I have been chosen before the foundation of the world. You have been chosen. You have been elected. We are part of the election. Can I get an amen? So, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, the Bible says he already knew our name. And he knew already, years later, that you would come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ when he called us. And that's right. Those of us that are logged in, that are watching this or maybe you're watching it later on, you need to have the blessed assurance that God has called you into His marvelous light. Where did He call us from? He called us from darkness into His marvelous light. We are now seated in heavenly places. God has blessed you. God has ordained you. God has called you. God has lifted you up. God has done the miraculous in your life. God is supplying all your needs according to His riches and glory. God is healing you, all those who are afflicted, all those who are mentally, spiritually, and physically going through afflictions. God is the lifter of our head. Jesus said, "All ye that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me, and I will give you rest for your souls." Praise God, praise God. Listen, we have the greatest health care in the world. It's not PPO, it's not HMO, hallelujah, but it's the Lord God Almighty, and His name is Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to give Him a shout of praise, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, because soon and very soon, they're going to shut down all these benefits. They're going to shut down all these doctors and all these things, but we will have God. We will have God. And if you ever are hungry and there's no more food for what's taking place, the famine that's coming, God will do the same thing He did for Elijah. He will send ravens and bring us food. Praise God. How many believe that God will be able to take care of all of your needs according to His riches and glory? Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. Look what it says right up here in Micah. Look at this. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us. And He will, what? Look at this. And will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all, say that with me at home, saints. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Praise God. And you will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. And guess what? The God that we serve is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this is our promise. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, I hope you have a better understanding this evening, because some of us go through weariness. Some of us go through heaviness, but you need to see the greater picture. You're looking through a tiny little keyhole. You need to see the big picture in your life, that God is doing something so miraculous, so beyond comprehension. And you gotta just embrace it and walk in the glory of God. You see, saints, there is yet another reason why salvation cannot be through the law or through faith plus the law. The words law and promise are opposite in nature, my friends. It's like oil and water. They cannot be combined. Inheritance here refers to believers, their enjoyment of what they receive through the promise. And what are the benefits? Salvation, eternal life, and the removing of the original curse. Praise God. Praise God. We are no longer cursed people. We are a blessed people. Say that with me at home. We are a blessed people. I need you to say it one more time. Those of you, I need you guys to send that up right now who are watching right now. Say that. Go ahead. If you're watching on Facebook, type it in. And I want you to say this. We are a blessed people. Can I get an amen? Praise God. And thus, if our salvation and enjoyment of God's gifts depend on obeying the law, then they cannot depend on a promise. For it cannot be both ways, my friends. It cannot. People do not need to work to attain what has been promised to them. Praise God. Praise God. And we've been promised by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. So, my friends, instead, God gave it to Abraham as a promise. God gave the promise because He loved Abraham, not because Abraham deserved it. No, he didn't deserve nothing. But God chose to love him. God chose to love you. God chose to love me. You see, God gave the promise, and the verb implies something that is both free or unearned and permanent. Friends, aren't you so blessed? Huh? Aren't you so blessed? You see, my friends, the way of salvation was still in effect in Paul's day as well as in our own. Praise God. God, in His grace, gives of salvation by our faith alone. Praise God. And He grants graciously and generously. Praise God. Not reluctantly. Oh, that's right. God's not stingy. Oh, we are stingy. Oh, yeah. You ever rode in a car with friends and they pull out some gum and they pull one out for themselves and put it back? They don't even offer it. Hey, would you like some too? Oh, yeah. And we don't get mad. It's their gum. It's their breath mint, whatever it is. But God's not like that. He gives liberally. He has so much to give. We're only scratching the surface of what God is doing in our lives, my friends. And so in love and compassion, not in judgment, abundantly and without reservation is what God does in our life. We're going to break down our last verse of scripture, verse 19. And it reads, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Wow. Wow. And who's the mediator? Jesus. Praise God. It's Jesus. He's our mediator, saints. Listen. In the previous verses, Paul made four distinct observations about the law. Oh, that's right. Let's look at one of them. Look at this. Number one, the law could not give the Holy Spirit. Aren't you so blessed? It was God's mercy and grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the great exchange. Number two, look at this. The law cannot give righteousness. That's right. All the law was to point out our shortcomings, our the negative things of our life, the sins of our life. That's all the law could do. It could not give us righteousness. The righteousness comes only through Christ. And the righteousness was given to Abraham all the way down to Jesus. And then Jesus had to die and take on our iniquity and then be buried. And then He rose again. And then the great exchange took place. The Holy Ghost was poured out and was given to us. And now we are the righteousness of Christ through faith. That's how it works. I hope you're getting this at home. Relive it several times. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Let's look at our third point right here. Let's look at this. The law could not justify, it could only condemn. You see, the law will condemn you all the way to hell. And for the unbelieving world that will reject Christ throughout their life, that's true what I just put up there. They will be condemned all the way to hell. Wow. But, hallelujah, thank you, God. Because we have received Jesus, and now we have received justification. And justification, in a nutshell, it's just as if we never sinned. Woo, thank you, God. How many are so blessed to know that? You got to be, man, you got to be jumping up and down. Listen, I know some of us can't jump up high anymore. So you know what I do? I do backflips. You're probably laughing, right? Yeah, I do backflips in my mind. Oh, that's right. Why? Because I'm so excited that we are walking in this awesome, awesome grace that God has given us. Let's look at the fourth point right here. Look at this. The law could not change the fact that righteousness always comes by faith in God's promises. Wow. Wow. Did you see that? Did you catch that, my friends? Isn't that awesome? You see, Paul's opponents, and especially the Judaizers, could still be expected to raise the question, why was the law given? Paul's argument could sound as though he believed the law had no purpose on whatsoever, and that he was actually opposed to it. No, Paul was never opposed to it, saints of God. How many believe that he was never opposed to it? Praise God. Praise God. Because we know by faith that God is with us. God will always, always be with us, saints of God. And I'm here to let you know that it was God Almighty, that saved us by the grace of God. So Paul further on explained the true purpose behind God's giving of the law and its place in the plan of salvation. The law had two functions, saints of God. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. Here we go, right here, watch. It had a negative function. It was given to show people how guilty they were, meaning that God had given the law to punish sin. Wow, did you catch that? Did you catch that? Woo, my friends. Look at this. It had a strong positive function. The law reveals the nature and the will of God and show people how to live it out through guarded and protected people until they could believe in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's something else, huh? That's something else. Wow, my friends, that is truly awesome. Awesome what God has done. Look at this. Look at the book of Matthew. Look what was written in the book of Matthew. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle by no means will pass from the law till it is all fulfilled. You see, my friends, you see that? Let's look at verse 19 here. Look at this. Whoever therefore breaks one of these least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does not teaches them, he shall what? Be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. Let me just say this. This is what this is saying, is that as believers, we teach the whole counsel of God. We do not leave the law out, because the law was a taskmaster. The law was good. The law had to be administered by God to show us our shortcomings, because if the law was never in place, we would never run to the cross to see how sinful, how degenerate we were. But it was God's grace. It was God's grace. Can I get an amen? Look what it says right here in Acts 7:53. Who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Wow. Well, friends, I'm here to let you know that you and I, we are heir apparent of God's grace. Look what it says in Hebrew right here. In Hebrews 2:1-3. Therefore, what? We must what? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Earnest heed. Woo, thank you, Jesus. My friends, this is what God is doing something mighty. Look at this. Lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Such a great salvation. Wow. Isn't that something, saints? My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. And so, my friends, God is a... How many believe God is a mighty God? Thank you, God. God is a mighty God. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise right now. Somebody give God a shout of glory and honor and praise. Why? Because he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Amen? He's worthy to be praised. Praise God. And how many of you at home just love God? Don't you love what he's doing? Huh? Don't you love what he's doing? I love every moment. You see, my friends, while the Judaizers might go so far as to agree with Paul that Abraham was justified by faith, they would then add the coming of the law changed by the basis of their ignorance. And so, my friends, we know soon And very soon, the Lord Jesus is going to return. Oh, yes, he is. He's going to return once again. And my friends, I'm here to let you know that what we see in the world today, what's taking place in the world today, we know without a shadow of a doubt that soon and very soon, Jesus is coming for his church. And it's been prophesied over 2,000 years, and we see the day approaching now. We are seeing what God had mentioned thousands of years ago, and it's here upon us now. Praise God. Look at the Word of God right here, found in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No! Comfort one another with these words. How many are so blessed to know that God is the God of all comfort? God is the God of all grace. God is the God of all mercy. Praise God. God will always, always comfort us. Now, the next greatest event is about ready to take place. Oh, yes, it is. And guess what? It's ready to take place in the clouds, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, that's right. Many believe it could be this coming September on the Feast of Trumpets. I'm not setting dates and times, but we need to be the watchmen watching for these things to take place. Can I get an amen? Well, look right here on the Word of God. When this takes place, my friends, there's going to be panic in our streets around the world. Look at this. But this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? I'm so blessed that this is soon and very soon going to happen. But my friends, if you're watching for the very first time, second time, I don't know, and maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord. You never repented of your sins. You never turned to God and say, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you turn your back on sin. You see, a lot of people think, oh, I could just go check myself and get cleaned up. No, you go right back to that same vomit without the power of God. The way to get rid of these things is to humble yourself with humility and cry out to a holy God and ask God for mercy and for forgiveness. Acknowledge your sin to him. That's what repentance means. And once repentance takes place, then he will cover you and wash you with his blood. And once the blood has been applied to your life, now the Holy Spirit of promise can come in and live in you in a washed vessel through the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life. Is that what you want, my friends? Is that what you want? I believe that's what you need. Because if you reject the grace of God, the love of God, and he comes for his church, what you're about to see, don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow, my friends, you know, I would always say that, now that's the $1 million question. No, that's the $1 trillion question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to give your heart to the living God? Well, it takes repentance. And the first sermon ever given by the Apostle Peter was on the day of Pentecost. I use this because it was fresh right then and there, and it's still fresh today, especially when I receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter preached this wonderful message to the thousands, maybe millions, there in Jerusalem on the Feast of Pentecost. And this is what was written down by Luke in the book of Acts. Let's look at this. Then Peter said to them, "Repent." That means an about face. Turn your back to sin and turn to the living God. "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin." That means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know, saints of God? Huh? How many? How many of you are so blessed to know that right there, "as many as the Lord our God shall call"? Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? I'm so very thankful. I'm so very thankful that God saved me, God saved you. But if you are watching and you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would receive this great and awesome salvation. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith, and allow the righteousness of Christ come upon your life by faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. Someone just got saved. Someone just gave their heart. Listen, down below is our website. Log on. Log on. Reach out to us. Our phone number there, our email. Listen, we would love to put a Bible in your hand. We would love to pray with you. We would love to further show you a good place where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, where that church will teach the unadulterated Word of God. Praise God. And also, my friends, I just want to say with the biggest shout out to all of you. Many of you continue to support our ministry down below. Donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time to say goodnight. I was so blessed on this teaching for you and I, because as I teach you, I further grow in my faith as well. And so don't forget, this coming Sunday, we will have a guest. I believe her name is Julia. She's going to be playing the keyboards, and she sings with Angel, with Leah, and with Andre. We're so excited for that. And then, please don't forget, bring your favorite dishes. Bring some food out. We're going to have a wonderful potluck fellowship, and then the healing rooms by the grace of God. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you our benediction, and it goes like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So we love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday, 10 o'clock at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. God bless you and good night.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.